Good morning. It is good to be here with you. I want to say thank you to Pastor Kreitzer for inviting me for the service on Wednesday, which we were talking about our liberties. It was a national prayer service, and so that was a pleasure to be with you then. It was also a joy to kind of reconnect and be back here and in a place that I loved when I was doing the ministry here, and Pastor Mormon, who I'll see Seth later on today. What a pleasure to reconnect. It is also amazing to hear that your school is going to D.C., and one of the things that I am doing in D.C. now is welcoming the schools when they come and kind of meeting them at the Capitol and talking to them a little bit about our work in D.C. And I'm not going to talk about our work much today. I'm not going to talk about it in the sermon. There is a trifold over there that if there's a few left. I mean, they cleaned me out on Wednesday. But it talks a little bit about what we do there. You see, the Lord gave us wisdom as to how to engage Caesar and how to actually do the work that we have to do in Caesar's realm and the work that we have to do in God's realm. In fact, a lot of the stuff, we write a lot of things so that you can figure out how to do this. When you're doing evangelism, you always ask the question, WWJD, what's that? What would Jesus do? And then you do it. That's not a good thing to do when you talk about public stuff and cultural stuff. That's what would the Father do? Because God preserves the world to save the world. And so learning how to ask those two different questions and then hear his answer and then serve. So we do that kind of stuff. So if you want to know more about us, pick up a pamphlet. If not, go to our website, lcrlfreedom.org, and you'll start to see a little bit about who we are. Now, I also got a kick out of spilling the water this morning. I want to be part of your renovation, so I cleaned up my spot by kicking over my water. But I also, this is an example of what evangelism is. Now, notice what they did. Someone still got me water, but they got me one with a cap on it. So, you see, that's what I taught Pastor. You know, I taught Pastor Seth, this is, I said, sometimes it's the same water, and I need it, but you might have to bring it in a different container, otherwise I'll spill it all over the ground. So that's what evangelism is, taking that good stuff. So anyway, today I want to talk to you about your citizenship, which you have in heaven. It empowers how you live each and every day right now. And it makes a difference. And it makes a difference in who we are. And it makes a difference in how we are God's people in this world for the sake of others. So I read again from Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power of that enables him to even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in Christ, my beloved. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And citizenship in his kingdom is the only thing that lasts. Where are you from? Why are you here? Where are you going? These are the questions of life. And everybody has to answer those questions. Where are you from? Why are you here? Where are you going? And the right answer to those questions makes all the difference. The wrong answer to those questions gets us into all kinds of trouble. And that's kind of how Paul's talking to us today in this Philippians message. Now, when I moved to St. Louis, it's back in 2000. Why would I ever leave here, Pastor? I don't know. My wife's still asking that question. Why did we ever leave? When we got to St. Louis, interestingly enough, we moved in this neighborhood, and here's the most important question. The first question they really asked, what high school did you go to? I'm 58 years old. What does that matter now? You know, what high school did you go to? And I'm like, in the mind of a St. Louisan, this is still a huge question. They ask this because they figure out if you went to this high school or that high school or that high school, they know all they need to know about who you are, why you're here, where you're going, and then here's the worst part, and whether they should be your friend or not. Wow. My daughter got so tired of answering that question because she went to school at Orange Lutheran here in California. She finally said, I got so tired of answering, I didn't go to high school here. She picked one from St. Louis. So I went to that one, you know. And then she says, can you get on to the next question? Now, again, they're asking a question, but they're seeking the wrong answer to that question. Now, lest you think St. Louisans are the only ones who are peculiar to these kind of things, I ask you a question like this: are you an Angels fan or are you a Dodgers fan? This is huge to people. They wear the colors and they don't associate with those other folks. Did you go to USC? Did you go to UCLA? Did you go to UCI? Or are you a CUI graduate? And then the worst, the bigger questions, what job, what career do you have? As if that ultimately matters. And then here's the one, what country are you from? And on and on and on. So this is an important question. Human beings want to know this question, but Paul is saying it's the answer that really matters. The question is important, but the answer is the one. So where are you from? Where are you going? These questions matter, but not all the answers to those questions matter. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to us today. He's saying we're from Christ's family. That's finally what makes us who we are. We're not born into it. We're what? Reborn into it by the powers of the water of baptism. We're living life in his name, not just for ourselves. That's what sets us apart, though. We live life in his name for the sake of others, and that makes all the difference. But as I said, then, like today, we don't always value the right answer, and we get caught up in these other wrong answers as if they really, really matter. Now, Paul's talking to people who are from Philippi, and the Philippians are a unique brood of people because they were soldiers. They were soldiers of Rome. And after they had finished their time, the Romans had said, you know what, as to honor you, we're going to give you a piece of land over there in Greece, and you can make your city. And they called it the city of Philippi. But again, what Paul is saying is he understood who he's writing to. Even if those soldiers made a beautiful town, their heart was still where? In Rome. Because they fought for Rome. They identified with Rome. They had prestige in Rome. Even though they made a beautiful city called Philippi, their hearts were still there. And Paul said, look, I'm trying to tell you, I understand you kind of feel like dual citizens. Well, let me tell you the ultimate dual citizenship. Your heart and soul belong to Christ. Your citizenship is in heaven, even though you're living life here in Long Beach. That's what Paul's trying to get across. He's saying to him, there's one citizenship that surpasses, even empowers the other citizenship, and it's our life in Christ that finally even makes living in this part of the world and this time and place worth doing. How many of you ever heard of the name Chuck Colson? You ever heard of his name? Powerful guy, man. I mean, when he finally, he had a prison ministry after a while that was one of the best I've ever been associated with, brought hope and joy to people that were behind bars because he himself was behind bars. If you remember his story, he was Richard Nixon's hatchet man. He was a power broker, and now the place I work, he was in D.C. He was the kind of guy they said, because, you know, his job was to actually watch the presidential candidate's back. His job was to get votes for the president. They said that he would crawl over his grandmother's grave to get a vote for Nixon. That's the mindset he had. He said when Watergate hit and he realized he had crossed the line on some of that kind of political work and he went to jail for it, in prison, he came to grips with Christ. He came to grips with what really mattered in life. And he suddenly realized all that he had done before Jesus' throne. He said, here's a change in my life. He said, I thought that my life was 80 years, 90 years. You go for the gusto. You win, 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 win. You achieve, 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 and then it's done. That's what I thought my life was all about. He said, then I learned my life was eternal. He said, once I learned my life was eternal, I had to change the way I lived today. And thank God Jesus shook me up. And I saw all that in prison. And from that point on, he said, I lived in view of my eternal life with him. That's what Paul is trying to get across to you and to me today. He's both offering this again to us, and if you're Christian, you already kind of know this, but he's warning you, if you're not a Christian, he's also warning you for a Christian who doesn't take this stuff seriously. He's saying, look, I'm going to tell you straight. If you come to faith in Jesus, you receive life on his terms. You receive all that he has done for you on his terms, and that's eternal. If you reject him, he said, then all you have is what's in your stomach today, what's in your bank account today, what's in your garage today, and someday it will all be gone. Wow. So that's what he's saying to us today too. He's telling the Philippians, he's telling us, if you live without Christ, your end is destruction. If you live in Christ, your life is in him forever, eternally. So he's calling us to repentance. He's calling us to actually see things the way God sees things. And he's telling us, stand firm. Stand firm in the faith of Jesus. He's also saying, look, imitate him. So when you read the scripture and look how Paul lived his life, look at Paul's life in Acts. And he says, imitate me. I've lived my life in some of the toughest parts of the world. Imitate me. I'll show you the power of Christ in your walk. And then he says, keep your eyes on those who have kept their eyes on Jesus. You know, you got some friends and family who've lived faithful lives in the midst of real trouble and real struggle. Watch them. Watch how they live. And then seek to follow and to follow their example as well. So the Philippians they lived in Philippi, but their hearts were in Rome. And Paul is saying, you know what, if you're a Christian, you might live wherever you live, but your heart is always in your citizenship in heaven. So you know where you come from. So if I was to ask you today, where do you come from? Your answer is, I come from the family of Christ. How do you know that? I was baptized into it. I'm his. I know that. You know where you're going. The Bible says that he rose from the dead. Actually, it says it this way. It says, because he lives, what does the Bible say? You will live also. So you know where you're going. And you know why you're here. You're here to strive for excellence in his name. And to serve others in his name, because that's who he is for you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is a message that I know Long Beach wants to hear. I know you think it's harder to say this message today. Look, I've served in New York City. I have served in South Central LA. I've served all over the country. I've served in some places where, you know, I've said, people say, we know what you're here to say to us, Pastor, and we don't want to hear it. I've been in those places, and guess what I found out? They wanted to hear it just as badly as you do. After a while, I just had to put it in a different bottle, okay? I had to learn how to say this stuff in a lot of different places. I was invited one time to speak at the Outback Bowl. Do you know what the Outback Bowl is? Anybody? Do you know the Rose Bowl? Well, Michigan doesn't play there anymore, so I don't care about that. Michigan usually gets invited to the Outback Bowl, and it's usually the Big Ten, like the second place Big Ten person versus the second or third place SEC person. Okay, that's called the Outback Bowls in Tampa, Florida. And I got invited to do. This is when I was a young pastor. They had a luncheon before the Outback Bowl. So I was invited to speak at that luncheon to give a devotion, not just a prayer, but a devotion at that luncheon. Now, lest you think I was some high-flying pastor, I played basketball on the Tampa Tribune basketball team back in those days. I had a little game back in those days. So I said, the head of the team says, you want to do this? Because Tampa Tribune was sponsoring it. You want to do this thing, Pastor? I said, sure. Why? Why are you asking me? Because I thought they were going to say, because we value your words, you know. They said the archbishop got sick. You know? Oh, okay, so I did it. Okay, so here I am. I'm going to ask you this question. You're standing in front. It was Auburn versus Penn State. The teams come walking in. The coaches are sitting up in the front. So is the mayor of Tampa. So is Outback Steakhouse CEO. And then all of ESPN and all of the news are in the back. And then suddenly it's like we're time to go. And they say, now a devotion from Pastor Sells. What would you say? What would you say? Man, I struggled mightily because what if I say something wrong? It's going to be all over the news, all over the country. What would you say? And I struggled and struggled and struggled, and I came up with this, Mary and Martha. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Remember the whole point? Jesus said, Martha, Martha, what you're doing is important, but it doesn't last. Mary has chosen the one thing. So I got up and I read that story to they're some of the finest athletes in the country. And I looked at them and I said, there's one thing in life that makes life worth living, games worth playing, people worth living, work worth doing, leisure worth taking. And if you know that one thing, then even making a block tomorrow has eternal significance. If you don't know that one thing, even if you win tomorrow, it will be forgotten. And I said, how many of you know who won last year? No one knew. I said, see? I said, even you forgot. I said, but if you know the Lord who created you and redeemed you and you play to give him glory and to serve others, even the block you make tomorrow has eternal significance. That's the message that we have. And that's the message that our world still needs to hear. That, you know, the world can strive for excellence, but it strives for excellence just for excellence's sake. And eventually that striving comes to nothing. Even the great minds of 150 years ago are completely forgotten now in many people's lives. But if you strive for excellence to give God glory and to serve others in his name, it lives forever. One citizenship lasts, and it empowers the citizenships that we have in this culture today. And we love what God has given us even in the country in which we live, but even that is to be used in service to the mission of the church. So the right answer to the questions, where are you from, where are you going, why are you here, they matter. But Paul says, here's the answer to that question. Your citizenship is in heaven. And once you know that, it empowers your life here on earth. So Paul even says, you know, this is what you have in Jesus Christ. And I love it when he closes, he said, and as great as this is, as great as that this message is, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. Notice what he says in the verse. He said, there's a time coming where he's going to transform our bodies even to be like his glorious body. So no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're going through right now, Christ says, your citizenship's with me, and the best is yet to come. So I leave you with this thought. There was a lady who suddenly found out she had cancer, and she was told she was terminal. So this was it. There was nothing they could do for her. She was going to die. She was a member of a church, Christian church like you are. And so she went to the pastor and said, I want to get ready for my funeral. But she had a smile on her face. Well, Christians understand that all a funeral is what? It's a transition to the fullness of life in Christ, right? So she said, I want people to know that. So they picked the hymns. And of course, the liturgies of a Lutheran sermon are always about resurrection and about what Jesus can do even at a point like this. And so what a powerful message. She was singing Easter songs and all these different things. And then she said, Pastor, I have one more request from you. When we do the open casket thing, I want you to make sure that I have a fork in my right hand. You ever gotten that one? Okay. She said, put it. And he was like, she goes, you're not sure why I want this, are you? And he's going, well, not really. She said, you know, Pastor, you know, I come to a lot of the things that we do here at the church, and we always have food. You guys do that here? Yeah, potlucks. And she said, I love coming to the gatherings and everything. But she said, there always comes that moment at the dinner or the potluck or whatever when they clean the plate, where they clean all our plates off. And you know, the person that comes by, and they always got a stack of them, and they're always putting them away. But what do they always say? Keep your fork. She said, they always say, keep your fork, because the dessert is now coming. So you know, throw all this other stuff out. And she said, you know what it always taught me? That the best was yet to come. So when people come to my funeral and they look in there, they're going to say, what does she have a fork for? And I want you to tell them, the best has already come for me. But don't you forget, the best is yet to come even for you. You're a citizen of heaven now. You're forgiven now. You're loved now. Even with all of that truth, the best is yet to come. Trust in the citizenship that lasts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Amen.